So speaking of communication, I actually wanted to take a look today at a lesser focused on Ramban, one of the most common psukim in Chumash, but probably one of the psukim we pay the least attention to. Communication is very much a part of what's going on in Parshas Va'era. Surely that's the opening discussion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Moshe Rabbeinu, is how he presents himself to the Avos and how he presents himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and the different Shemos that he uses. And with the Ramban, a couple of psukim later, on a very unassuming pasuk, we might almost say a nondescript pasuk, Perek Vav Pasuk Yud, Aydaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, does not catch our attention. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, the Chumash says this is the second paragraph in Parshas Va'era. The first paragraph is Rabbi Shalom appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ani Hashem, the Avos used Kel Shakai, now he's going to use Shem Hashem. The first paragraph involves the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Moshe Rabbeinu deliver to Klal Yisrael, the four Lashonos Shel Geula, Vahotseisi, Vihitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti, the promise of Geula, the promise of Matan Torah, Ve'vesi Eschem, the promise of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, indeed, in the previous Pasuk and Pasuk Tes, he shares the message with Klal Yisrael, and they don't accept him. Mikotzer Ruach, which actually the previous Ramban in Pasuk Tes explained that they were frightened and they were overworked. Kotzer Ruach means they were frightened. They didn't know how much longer they would last. They didn't know what they would suffer at the hand of the Egyptians. And Avodah Kasha, they were working so hard, as Ramchal later picks up on in the second parak of Mesilas Yesharim. They were so busy that they didn't have time to think. And that happens to all of us, Baruch Hashem, usually in far less excruciating ways, but so busy with stuff, with so busy doing, that we don't have time to consider what it is that we're doing. So that's the dramatic, dense, packed first paragraph, first parsha of Va'era from Pasuk Beis to Pasuk Tes. And now we look at the second paragraph. Psukim Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Kadosh Baruch tells Moshe Rabbeinu, now that he spoke to the Jewish people and they didn't listen, the next step is to go speak to Paro. Bo Daber Paro Melech Mitzrayim, etc. And this paragraph is introduced with, again, what seems like a very nondescript Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, the type of pasuk we see so often in Chumash, and unfortunately for us, we tend to ignore it. The Rabban asks a very simple question. How do you translate that? Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Which word does not belong there?
Lemor,
yeah. Well, what does that do exactly? Every word in the Torah is precious. Hashem spoke to Moshe. It's usually translated as saying. Hashem spoke to Moshe as saying. Oh, that's that supposed to mean? What's that supposed to mean? That's the sort of thing that we might say if we're like clearing our throat. You're speaking publicly. You're grasping for words. You have those hem and haw words. What's it doing in Chumash? Let's take a look at the Ramban. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Rebbe Hashem speaks to Moshe Lemor. Amra Mefarshim. Mefarshim explain. Here they tell you it's a Radak. Rav Shavel points as well to a much earlier source, not only the Rishon, the Radak, but the Mechilta, the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Shmos, goes back to the Tanam and early Amoraim. What does Lemor mean? Milas Lemor b'chol ha-Torah, Lemor li-Yisrael. Throughout Chumash, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor, it means that he's supposed to repeat it to the Jewish people. V'hatam, Sheyomer Hashem le-Moshe, Hashem is telling Moshe, Emor li-Yisrael, Divarai Eile. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe would just mean a private communication. Hashem said it to Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, says the Radak, based on the Mechilta, it means, I'm not just telling you, I'm telling to you to share with a third party. I'm telling to you typically to share with Klal Yisrael. In the Parsha of Tzitzis, the end of Shlach, that we say every day is a part of Kriya Shema. Vayomar Hashem Moshe Leimar, Daber B'nei Yisrael, etc. The Kadosh Baruch Hu tells to Moshe to convey it to the Jewish people. Over here, he already spoke to the Jewish people. V'chan Leimar Paro. Here is, I'm giving you a message to convey to Paro. The Ramban is not happy with this. The Ramban is not happy with this. Let's see Ramban's kashas. Let's see the Ramban's alternative. And then I want to circle back to appreciate the message that does flow from this first approach. Basically, if you look at the psukim, Ramban says, it's hard to defend the notion that Lamar is there to tell you to share it. Hakasiv Sha'amar Emesh Amar Eli Lamar. Back in Chumash Bereishis, Lavan tells Paro, Lavan tells Moshe Yaakov Avinu, I caught up with you, I could attack you, I could crush you, but Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to me last night and said, hands off of Yaakov Avinu. Right? So a power play of sorts by Lavan. So what's with the word Lamar over there? Emesh Amar Eli Lamar. Hashem last night appeared to me Lamar, what I was supposed to tell you. Lavan decided to tell Yaakov about the message he got from Rabbeinu Shlomo, but it wasn't really meant for passing on to third party. There it doesn't work out so well. But Feirish Hazeh, according to this approach. The truth is in many places. Sheyichbal. Often it's if that's what Lamar means, it's redundant. If it says Hashem speaks to Moshe Lamar, then it says explicitly, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lamar Daber B'nei Yisrael Amar Talayim. That should look familiar. That's the parasha of Tzitzis. So yes, Lamar means, it is true that Moshe is told to tell to the Jewish people, but the Chumash says that explicitly, Daber B'nei Yisrael Amar Talayim. So what's, why the need for that word Lamar? Vayomer Al-Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Lamar. What's it mean over there? They were speaking to the Jewish people. So Lamar to which third party? Vayomru b'nei Yisrael Moshe Lamar. Hein gavadnu, avanu, kulanu, avanu. Klal Yisrael come to Moshe Rabbeinu, they complain where we're going to die here in the Midbar. Who's the Lamar? Vayomru b'nei Yisrael El Moshe Lamar. There is no third party. V'omar alechem b'esahi Lamar. The beginning of Chumash Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu reviewing Jewish history as a part of his final address to Klal Yisrael, the end of year 40 in the Midbar. I said to you at that time, Lamor. Who were the Jewish people repeating it to? When they were live tweeting what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them? Who's the Lamor? To whom? Coming up later on in Parshas Vayera, which Rabban refers to as a Seder, a Sedra. Because technically speaking, the word parsha is really a paragraph in Chumash, a psucha or a stuma. So Rabban always used the word seder. We sometimes use the term sedra, being mavra sedra, to refer to what you lay in over the course of a Shabbos morning, what we colloquially refer to as a parsha. So b'seder hazeh, later in the seder, in seder va'era, yomar Hashem Moshe Aaron lemor ki daber alechem paro lemor. How do you make sense of that pasuk? A double lamar. And they were, it wasn't a message to convey. Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, here are instructions for you. When Paro speaks to you, here's what you should say. That's not a lamar. They weren't meant to repeat this whole thing. And what's Daber Lechem Paro lamar? Paro's going to say to you, what to say to Hashem? Ain't anu lamar l'achirim al nacham. It doesn't work out. The truth is, look at right here. Right this passage. Ayov Daber Hashem Moshe lamar, bo Daber Melech Mitzrayim. So why the Lamar? The next pasuk says, go speak to Paro. It's explicit. Ramban says, again, the Radak says Lamar, the word Lamar means you're meant to repeat this. The Mechilta, Medrash Halacha and Shmos already says it. But Ramban says it's very difficult. There's so much evidence in Chumash against it. Specifically, two types of evidence. two types of evidence. Number one, there are many times where it's if that's what lemar means, it's redundant. Like here, like in the parsha of Tzitzis, lemar, and then it tells you who to say it to. And then there's the other type of evidence, other set of psukim, where they're not meant to be repeated to a third party. Like Lavan telling Yaakov, Hashem spoke to me last night, lemar. Or Hashem speaking to Moshe Aaron, lemar, and then giving them specific instructions that they're not meant to just repeat verbatim to someone else. Rabban says, both of these phenomena, the lemars that are followed by an explicit tell it to someone else, and lemars are not meant to repeat, how do you make sense of it? So let's see what Rabban says, and then let's return to the important message of the Mechilta. The Hanachon Beinai, Rabban says, what seems to me to be the correct pshat, is Kimilas Lamar Lahoros al Beirur ha'inyan b'chol makom. Lamar doesn't necessarily mean repeat to someone else. It means that we're saying it clearly. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe ba'amira gemura lo amira musupekes v'lo beremes. Lamar means he said it straight. He said it clearly. He said it plainly. L'chein yasmid zeh b'chol ha'torah. So that's, you know why you find Lamar throughout Chumash? Radak Mechilta would say, because throughout Chumash, every time you have a halachic paragraph, Moshe is meant to repeat the Jewish people. Rabban says, the reason why you have it throughout Chumash, because every time a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe a halachic paragraph, he told it to him explicitly. What do you mean explicitly? As the Torah makes clear later in Chumash by Midbar, in the discussion of the uniqueness of Nevuas Moshe, and this is one of the Ikari Amunah, that the type of nevuah, the type of communication that HaKadosh Baruch had with Moshe Rabbeinu was unlike that which he had with any other Navi. Chazal described, they use as a metaphor, that, to describe the fact that the Nevi'im, other Nevi'im got messages through metaphors, Chazal ironically used the metaphor. And they say, imagine looking through... it's a difference between getting a cold car in the morning and warming up the car before you get in. Now, you warm up the car before you get in, you have the defog on, or if you have the car parked in the garage, you get in the car, and the windshield is clear, and you can see everything. But if you hop in the car, you didn't warm it up in advance, so you get behind the wheel, and things are a little fuzzy, because the windshield was foggy, and then then you get into the glare, and it can be hard to see. Aspaklaria hame'ira versus aspaklaria she'ena me'ira, a clear lens, a clear, perhaps, pane of glass versus an unclear one, a smoky or a foggy or a frosted one. So if you look through a foggy windshield or you look through frosted glass, you can see something. It's still translucent, but you can't make out everything sharply. You get the silhouette, maybe, or you get the basic color, you get the basic images, but it's not hi-fi. You look through a clean sheet of glass, everything is clear. So that's the metaphor Chazal used for the difference between Nevuas Moshe and the Shar Nevim. Shar Nevim was b'mare, b'chidos. Kadosh Baruch would show them a picture. Kadosh Baruch would give them an idea, a concept, a visual. Then they would understand. The Navi would reconstruct what it is that Kadosh Baruch was telling him. But the Nevuas Moshe was not ko amar Hashem. It wasn't like this. Nevuas Moshe was Zehadavar, exact, precise, word for word, letter for letter dictation. It wasn't pictures that they were meant interpret as it was with other Nevi'im. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when Kadosh Baruch Hu conveyed halacha to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was this higher level of Nevuah, which the Torah refers to as Pe'el Peh, direct text dictation. So that's why, because Moshe Rabbeinu had the vast majority of Chumash is this higher level of Nevuah. Anytime it's a halacha, a mitzvah, it's that higher level of Nevuah. Earlier in Moshe's career, before Hamam and Har Sinai, so it was a mix of higher level and lower level. But throughout the vast majority of Chumash, Kadosh Baruch Hu means Shmos Vayikra B'Midbar Dvarim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu on this higher level. So that's why every single halachic parasha opens with Lamar. Was being said precisely. it was being said precisely. He says that's why Lavan says to Yaakov, Hashem spoke to be Emesh Lamar. It doesn't mean Hashem told him to tell someone else. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu made it very clear to me. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not leave anything to my imagination. Kadosh Baruch Hu told me straight, hands off of Yaakov. I got the message, so Lavan tells Yaakov. Va'ba'amira berura shlo azik lechem. Ki lule kein, if Hashem would have left me any wiggle room, Yisio says, as imachem ra. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu left up to interpretation, I would have interpreted it the way I want to interpret it. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that he was very clear. And going back to some of the other psukim we mentioned before, Kalal Shal come to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu. Where's the Lamar? Rabban said, if Lamar means to repeat a third party, who's the third party? No, Rabban says. It means Kalal Yisrael did not beat around the bush. They speak to Moshe. This looks like it's a typo. If you remember Ben Yisrael, El Moshe Lamar, they speak to Moshe, and they tell Moshe, Hein Gavanu, we are dropping dead. They were not beating around the bush. Arum Lam Kein Beferish. And he explains, by the way, grammatically, Lamor is tenseless. It's not future, past, or present. It's no particular person. Not first, second, third person. It's not masculine or feminine. It's not singular or plural. It's a more abstract form of the verb Lamor, and it's similar to what we've been raised to call a double lashon, right? Hashev teshivim, nason titain. That when you have that doubled verb, so Chazal usually understand it to be a stronger presentation of the verb. Like Hashev teshivim means you have to even do it 100 times. Nason titain, even 100 times. It's usually when you double the verb that heightens it, intensifies it, because in addition to the regular titain, you're adding nason, which is the makar. It's the abstract form of the verb, the infinitive. And that's more or less what you have here as well. Lay more. It's not amarti yomar. Vayomar Hashem al Moshe lemar. Vayomar lemar is like a double verb. It's the same double lashon. So present it a little bit differently. Rabban says lemar is like that doubling. Like amar to amar. Vayomar lemar. So it means he didn't just say it, he said it. So sometimes it's used to refer to the higher level of nevuah that Moshe enjoyed. And sometimes it's in the someone else's nevuah or person-to-person communication, but it means you're saying it straight. Now, I've been learning with the yeshivas learning Pesachim this year. One of the opening sugyas of Masechet Pesachim, Daf Gimel, is about the value of Lishna Malia, the value of being delicate in the way you speak. And the Gemara is a sugya shakavatari, but then the Gemara is a whole series of 9 episodes about sensitivity to language. So the Torah, first the Gemara addresses the question of being delicate and not speaking in a coarse way. And then the Gemara speaks about elegance and then the value of indirectness, especially if you're conveying difficult news. There's value to conveying things indirectly, derech remez. But there's a time for derech remez and there's a time to be direct. And you have to figure and assess in each situation, is it appropriate to convey things more subtly? Or is it appropriate to convey things more directly? And I would just very briefly circle back around to the Mechilta. The Ramban's kashas notwithstanding, it's worth closing with the lesson of the Mechilta. The first approach, that lemar means lahagid l'achevim, so the Tanam understand from this, an important idea, another important idea about communication. In addition to figuring out when to be subtle and indirect and when to speak plainly, it's that lemar, according to the Mechilta, is the matir to tell it to a third person. It's the license. That's what authorizes me to share. And mikan, we learn that we do not assume as a default that just because someone told me something that I can tell it to other people, even if it's not necessarily negative. But you need to have, if someone shares information with me, I should not share it with a third party unless I get that authority, unless I get that license. And that's a critically important lesson in terms of communication. And that taka is a lesson, b'chol ha'tarakula, v'chol achayim, both to think about lishna mali and to think about the ways in which we say things, and when to be direct, and when it's appropriate to be direct, and when it's appropriate to be indirect, and to think carefully about when are we supposed to share, and when are we not supposed to share, and not just to assume the by default that whatever someone tells me is meant to be passed on to a third party. So these are some of the lessons that we learn from the one of the most common and least noticed words in Chumash, the humble word lemar. I both say thank you so much. Have a marvelous, marvelous day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Sei gesund und stark.
Thank you, Rabbi Kahn.
Thank you. Feel free to share the shiur with others. Lemar.
I think it's around 83 times that it says Vayidaber Hashem
al Moshe lemar. Really? See, you know what that means? That means that this is one of the most common lessons in Chumash.
Yeah.
Fascinating.